Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word, Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 3, and we've been looking at verse number 7, which says, "Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith." And we've been looking at this issue of the Apostle Paul talking about how himself, Silas, and Timothy had received comfort related to these saints that are in Thessalonica. We had looked at how Timothy had gone unto them to find out, to make sure that they were remaining faithful related to the gospel message for today. The fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and how a person puts their trust in that and that alone is what gives someone salvation today. And we've been talking about how individuals, that it's easy to remain faithful to these issues when things are going well. And when things aren't going so well, how individuals can start pulling themselves away from the truth of this message, looking for any sort of comfort that they can get, which is outside of the Word of God. And how Paul, when he saw these individuals and they were remaining faithful, that there was a sense of comfort that came upon him. And we looked last time talking about how Paul had that comfort when Titus had come back unto him, and how there was some feelings of distress when he had been separated from Titus for that period of time. And that's one of these things that, you know, as we're going through the situation that we find ourselves in today, of where, you know, mass gatherings or even small gatherings are kind of being, you know, almost forbidden in many areas, highly discouraged in a lot of other areas, that, you know, we have to find that comfort from even having what contact that we can have, especially since we have the technology to be able to have at least some form of contact with other members of the body of Christ, and to keep ourselves comforted until we can have that time again where we're going to be able to fellowship together and be able to, you know, see each other and have the comfort that comes from that. We have to get this comfort from these various other ways of being able to have this contact. Just like how that Paul didn't actually go back himself to find out what was going on with this assembly in Thessalonica. He sent Timothy. He heard the news from him, and it was comforting for him to know that these individuals were remaining faithful. And that's how we, when we know that there are individuals who are continuing to stand for the truth of this message, it is a comfort unto us to know that, you know, not only are we not alone in this, but there are other people that are part of the body of Christ that are going to be able to continue this message going forward, that are going to be able to have this fellowship with each other. And we see how Paul describes thing of what's going on with him. He says, "We are comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith." So as Paul, Silas, and Timothy were going through these various things in their lives, it was a comfort unto them to know that these saints in Thessalonica were doing the right thing. When we look at this idea of affliction, and I'm going to actually just read a very quick definition, which says the state of being afflicted. That doesn't really always help out when, you know, somebody uses a definition and uses part of that word to define the word. So when you look at what afflicted means, it's affected with continued or often repeated pain, either of body or mind, suffering grief or distress of any kind, followed by at or with, as associated as the loss of a child by the rheumatism or with losses. So the idea of that a person is having this continued pain coming upon them, and that that's being identified as being an affliction. Now, when we look at how Paul identifies the things in his epistles, you see how there are a lot of things that happened unto him that identify as these afflictions that were going on. We can go over to the book of 2 Corinthians. We'll go to chapter number 11. You know, and this is a passage that we've looked at several times of where Paul lays out this list of afflictions that had come unto him just by the point that he's writing this epistle, which means that by the time his ministry is over in 2 Timothy, which we're going to get over there in a few minutes, that by the time he's writing that epistle, there's so much more that's happened to him than what we just read here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, where we're going to read verses 23 down through verse number 28. It says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, and stripes above measure, and prisons more frequent, and deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness and watchings often, and hunger and thirst and fastings often, and cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches." Now, as Paul is listing out all of these things, you see how, you know, there's just probably almost a constant thing for him of where he was suffering something that was going on, and how all of these different things would have had to have taken a toll on him physically, you know, and as they were taking the toll on him physically, it would have been very easy for him, one, to have given up, two, to have let that affect him, you know, kind of from the emotional sense, to try to start trying to separate him from the things of God's word. And that's not what you see. You see him continuing on, you know, fighting the good fight of faith as these things are actually happening unto him. And he doesn't let any of it actually stop him in his ministry. In fact, we can continue on here in this same book. Let's turn over to the very next chapter here. We're going to turn over here to chapter number 12. And we're going to see him continue on here discussing some things related to this issue. And we're going to read here from verse 7 down through verse number 10. Verse 7 says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, there's a lot of debate on exactly what this thorn in the flesh that the Apostle Paul is making a reference to. You know, we're not going to spend any time discussing, you know, what that exactly is that Paul was dealing with. The issue is that there was something that was happening to him that his only response to it was that he asked God three times to remove this from him. So he was turning it over to God in prayer to be able to have this affliction removed from him. And the answer that he gets from God is not, well, here we go, I'm going to take that away from you because you've asked. The answer he gets from God is, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. The issue is that it's Paul is going to be able to get through whatever the situation is through the grace of God. You know, that's why we talk about things of, you know, that it's God working through us. It's Christ living in us. You know, you look at passages like, for example, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. You look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, where it's like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That the issue is that it's the Lord Jesus Christ giving us the strength to be able to deal with whatever the situation actually is. So, you know, no matter what it is that we are actually experiencing in our life, if we start applying this, taking the example of where Paul says to follow me as I followed Christ, that if we take that same example and say, how are we going to be able to get through these situations? We do it through prayer. God gives us the grace, the strength to be able to get through whatever the situation is. So, you know, even if these things that we're dealing with today in March 2020 related to, you know, the whole coronavirus situation is going on, even if it gets worse, God is going to give us the strength to be able to get through this situation. And that's why when we look at how Paul wrote things unto Timothy to be able to encourage him, let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And it's interesting that we, you know, as we're looking at this text, you see how Paul's talking about and saying about that, you know, in Thessalonians, that's the idea, we were comforted. So he's identifying that Paul, Silas, and Timothy had this level of comfort. By the time you reach 2 Timothy, you see that Paul has to be reminding Timothy about the issue of being able to get through whatever these situations are, to have that encouragement that he's going to be able to make it through them. So when we read, for example, here in chapter 1 of 2 Timothy, we're going to read verses 8 through 12. Here it says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, as Paul's writing this, he's seeing all these individuals who have turned their back on the message that's been given to us for this dispensation, and they're turning their back on it because they're seeing all these different things happen to Paul, probably to them as well as they're standing for this message at that time. And rather than continuing to remain faithful, they start turning their back on things because they don't want to have to, in their mind, I don't want to have to suffer those things because I'm teaching this message. And you see, that's why Paul's having to say that, be not thou therefore ashamed of this. You know, to continue to stand for the truth of this message, to continue preaching the message of God's word rightly divided, to continue preaching the gospel that was committed unto the apostle Paul that he gives us for today. And this is what he has to encourage Timothy to continue doing, because the word of God, which produces the faith in our life, is what gives us the hope that we need to be able to get through all of these situations. You know, as these things are going on, you start to see the individuals who don't have the hope or had a hope in something that's not according to God's word. You see the impact that various things have on them and how the fear starts to come up with things. You know, rather than the hope, knowing that, you know, I have that promise of eternal life. You know, I know that I'm going to be able to get through this situation. I know that the word of God is true. I know that I have all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I know that I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning with him for all of eternity. I have that hope. You know, and even though things might not appear that they're going the way that we want them to on planet Earth today, we have the hope that's given to us in God's word to be able to continue to press forward, to continue to preach this message to individuals. Because there are so many individuals today that need the hope that's found in the word of God. Because if they had that hope, you know, they wouldn't be, you know, as worried about what's going on at this time. We're here in 2 Timothy. Let's turn over to chapter number 3. And now we're going to see Paul writing this passage here to Timothy as this encouragement unto him specifically. And this is where we read verses 10 and 11 of 2 Timothy chapter number 3. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now, he starts out and lists out how Timothy knows, you know, he knows the doctrine. He knows everything that's been given to us in Romans through Philemon. Timothy has all that information because Paul identifies him, calls him like-minded as Paul. So Timothy had this knowledge of the Word of God. He had a knowledge of the lifestyle that comes about that as a person understands the word of God rightly divided, that it has an impact on who they are. And so that's why you start seeing the manner of life being mentioned, the purpose, the faith that comes from the word of God, the long suffering that comes about from, you know, preaching this message, the charity, the love that's being demonstrated out as this doctrine plays out, the patience that comes about. And then he brings up the issue of the persecutions, the afflictions, the things that Timothy was actually a witness of as part of this ministry, that Timothy saw these things going on. And as he saw them going on, he saw the fact that Paul remained faithful during all of those things. And no matter what happened, and even as when Paul's writing this, he's sitting in a prison cell knowing that he's going to die. Knowing that, you know, and that's why he, by the end of it, he starts talking about, I have fought a good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith, because he knows that, you know, once he's, you know, once he writes this, there's really not going to be that much more time that he's going to have left. And he's trying to give this final encouragement here unto Timothy to make sure that he's going to continue to stand for this message. You know, and that's a, you know, almost going to kind of become a constant reminder for people that as things are going on, and as, you know, the situation that we see out in the world continues, that to continue to remain faithful to what the Word of God rightly divided actually says, to continue to preach this message, to continue to, you know, try to reach out to this lost world that needs to hear this message, that needs to receive that hope, so that way, as they're dealing with things in their daily life, that they're not getting discouraged by all of the different things that are going on. Because it's very easy to actually get discouraged by those things. Because, you know, if you just turn on, for example, the news, all you just keep hearing is, you know, bad news, bad news, bad news, being hit one thing after another related to this. And that's all that anyone is focusing on. And the focus, you know, needs to be on what does the Word of God actually say for us? What has God actually promised for us? You know, that God has promised that we have those spiritual blessings. God has promised, you know, all the things that, as we've been talking here in this episode, all of these things that have been promised to us, that God is making sure that this is the reality of who we are as the members of the body of Christ. And since we know that this is our reality, this is what we need to make sure that is continuing to go out to individuals. And, you know, it's so encouraging to really see the fact that there are, you know, so many groups that are trying to make sure that this message is going out, you know, putting messages out on Facebook or through various, you know, other methods of social media to make sure that this message continues to go out, can continue to have an impact, that even though, you know, we might not be able to get together in a physical sense, that we're actually able to still have that level of fellowship with each other. And, you know, one of the other things that was actually kind of encouraging, you know, something that I had actually received in, you know, actually an email yesterday, was actually a thing of talking about, you know, what a, you know, the governor of, actually this was Indiana, as he was doing, actually making a speech about the things that are going on, you know, one of the things that he actually said, and it was when he was talking about, you know, the religious entities gathering together, he actually said that the scripture teaches us that the church is not a building, but a body. Now, I have no idea, you know, if this individual has salvation, if he has heard this message, but what he said there is the true reality, that the church, the body of Christ, you know, it's not a physical building. It's all of us together as individuals unified together in the body, fitly formed and joined together as the scriptures lay out. Now we're going to continue on with this verse next time. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have information about how to watch our Sunday services live. Actually, as they're being broadcast on Facebook, you can go to Leroy Reed's Facebook page, and on every Sunday morning, there will be a message being posted up on there as he broadcasts live at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. But on our website, we have recordings of some of our other messages. We have information on how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through the conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions, comments about anything that you see on our website, anything on our broadcast, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.